Hello, you're listening to Black Country Talking News, recorded at the Beacon Centre in Sedgley. This week's edition is for the 6th of April 2022.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We are pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspaper skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website. www.beaconvision.org/talking-news as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Angela. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Tim, Simon, Helen, Angela, Terry, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Colin, of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the weekly quiz, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, an article about the 40th anniversary of the Falklands War. We have the 10-day workout, news about a wellbeing survey from the University of Wolverhampton. And rounding all that off, we have a piece about an unusually cold game of football. We start, however, with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and we will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. Up next, then, is our first local news section, brought to us by Christine, Ed, Angela, Ian, and first up, it's Liz.
Tram bosses are very confident the tram system will be back up and running in time for the Commonwealth Games despite concerns. It emerged government ministers are in talks with West Midlands Mayor Andy Street, seeking reassurances the West Midlands Metro will be back on track when the Games begin on July the 28th. Services were withdrawn on March the 19th after yet more cracks were found in the trams, the third time in 9 months that such a discovery has led to the system being shut down. The service is currently suspended until further notice. And while there are no guarantees, Transport for West Midlands said they were optimistic services will be resumed, with a clearer picture on the timescales expected in the next week or so. Passengers were left frustrated when services were suspended earlier this month when cracks appeared in the door frames of the older fleet of trams. Talks were held earlier this week between senior executives from Transport for West Midlands and Spanish-based manufacturer CAF to discuss the repair programme. CAF has accepted the problem is the result of a design fault, and engineers from Spain and other parts of the world are currently in England working on the 21 affected trams and training British workers up on how to carry out repairs. A Transport for West Midlands spokesperson said, "We are focused on working with CAF to return a safe, reliable service as soon as possible and are very confident that we'll have the trams up and running for the Commonwealth Games. As previously stated, we expect the panel replacement works to take a number of weeks and expect to be in a position to provide a clearer indication of timescales in the next week or so."
Homes across the Black Country and Staffordshire are at their least affordable since records began in 2002, amid the cost of living squeeze, new figures show. Data from the Office for National Statistics made the findings by comparing the median house price in an area with the full-time annual salary there. And it found that homes in Wolverhampton, Sandwell, Walsall and Dudley had become less affordable, despite average wages going up last year. analysis showed the average price house in Wolverhampton is now £174,995, while the average salary in the city was £27,503, meaning house hunters need 6.4 times their wage to buy a home. In Walsall, the average price was £185,000, just over 6.5 times the annual average salary of £28,515. In Dudley, this was £198,000, almost 7 times the annual salary of £29,438. Meanwhile, in Sandwell, the figure is £170,000, just over 6 times the annual wage of £26,630. Each of the areas recorded the highest ratio recorded since the ONS began analysing the issue in 2002. Polly Neat, Chief Executive of housing charity Shelter, says the blame for worsening affordability lies with a huge decline in affordable social homes paired with less house building. She said house prices have been pushed higher by policies that have given some people greater purchasing power, like Help to Buy or the recent stamp duty cut. These policies, coupled with a lack of supply, means home ownership is now out of reach for most people on modest incomes. Many families are really struggling now that other bills are skyrocketing too, forced to choose between heating, eating, or paying their rent.
A specialist police unit aimed at tackling surging violence across the West Midlands has been allocated £14.5 million in government funding. The cash for the region's violence reduction unit, which is dependent on a successful application, will be spread over the next 3 years and targets youngsters in schools at risk of becoming involved in violence. Some of it will be ring-fenced for services including local authorities and health agencies to address issues that can spur violence, including poverty, deprivation, and trauma. The West Midlands has the highest rate of violent crime in the country, with 50.7 violent crimes per 100,000 people. Simon Foster, Labour Police and Crime Commissioner for the West Midlands, said the Violence Reduction Unit should not be subject to stop-start funding and urged ministers to provide consistent support. Meanwhile, Tories in the Black Country have called on the PCC to stop making excuses and get to grips with soaring crime. The Home Office says violence reduction units and hotspot policing initiatives have prevented 49,000 violent offences across England and Wales since 2019. The latest funding for the West Midlands will see £5.8 million allocated for this year, followed by £4.3 million in each of the following 2 years. Schemes include placing youth workers in hospitals to connect with young people in crisis, and Heal Hubs, which offer mental health support.
Support organisations have spoken about people desperate for help as they struggle to find the money to live amid huge increases in the costs of living. Energy prices have risen by as much as 54% due to an increase in the price cap, meaning bills for many people have virtually doubled. While there have been VAT and national insurance increases, and benefits and wages have stayed at the same levels. For food banks and debt advice services, this has meant an increase in the number of people making contact to access the services they provide. At the Black Country Food Bank in Briley Hill, CEO Jen Coleman said that demand was rising across the region, with more than 70% increase in Sandwell alone. She said people are being faced with many challenges at the moment through increased energy prices and the wages and benefits not increasing, meaning that many people are having to turn to food banks, unfortunately. We anticipate that demand is going to keep increasing as so many people are coming to the end of their ropes, and we've heard a lot from older people who are nervous and anxious about what is going to happen. Ms. Coleman said donations had also dropped for the food bank, and spoke about what she saw as the dramatic effect the cost of living increase was going to have on food aid charities. She said, "I think this is going to push us as much as it does those people we are helping, as I think many food charities are going to be on the brink of potential collapse due to the demand. We hope to be able to keep going, but there's no telling what the next few months will bring, and it really is a crucial time for food aid charities."
Train times between Birmingham and Shrewsbury could be slashed by 11 minutes as part of a major transport plan to improve the region's road and rail routes. The £15 million scheme will see existing tracks torn up and new ones laid, with engineers also being tasked with removing unnecessary kinks on the road that currently slow down trains. The aim is to make the route from Birmingham through the Black Country to Shrewsbury more direct. The improvements will see train speeds rise from about 60 miles per hour up to 90 miles per hour, cutting the journey times from 56 minutes to 45 minutes. Bosses at Midlands Connect, the region's transport body, will submit a full business case to the government for the scheme in the coming weeks, with a view to having the work underway by next year. It forms part of a new strategic transport plan for the region, launched today at Midlands Connect's annual conference, which sets out a series of key roads and rail projects for the next 10 to 15 years. The report also features a £30 million upgrade on the A454 in Wolverhampton, as well as faster trains between Birmingham and the East Midlands, and road improvements on the A46. The report says these projects, if delivered in full, will help provide up to £1.9 billion more in regional economic output per year by 2040 in the Midlands, rising to £4.1 billion per year by 2061, and support ambitions for 334,000 additional jobs to be created in the Midlands.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon. First up this week, where is the sun gone? I'm so confused. I did not expect snow at the end of March. But hey ho, we're in April now, right? That's got to mean some more sunshine's on the way. I just got used to the warmer days and not needing my coat as well. So, despite it being a little chillier than we would have liked, we had so much fun this weekend. It's our first ever family fun colour run. It was fantastic, and it was great to see runners turning out to support people with sight loss by taking part in the 5K event at Wolverhampton's East Park. We were extra excited beforehand as we were able to announce that Collins Aerospace were our official event sponsors. The generosity of Collins Aerospace will make a huge difference in helping our charity to raise as much money as we can to support people with sight loss to live independently. So we wanted to say a huge thank you to them. Welcome to the Beacon family, Collins Aerospace. Now, this is my last foray into the weather this week, but with the sun finally making an appearance, our sight loss advisors have been getting lots of inquiries about the shades, which are specifically for people with sight loss who may be struggling on bright days. Not only do filter glasses reduce glare and bright light, they also improve contrast and protect your eyes from harmful UV rays. To try the range of Cocoon filter glasses and find the right lens and frame to make life a little more comfortable for you, call Beacon Sight Loss Advisors for an appointment on 01902 880 111. Now, last this week, have you heard about our Fab Lab? Based at our Sedgley Centre, it's a digital manufacturing hub where we create handcrafted gifts that can be personalised. The items are for sale in our shops, which you can find all across the region, and also online via our Etsy site. I'm so excited to tell you that we've just made our 100th sale. How amazing is that? And they've gone everywhere, even over to America. We're so grateful for all your support as purchases help us support people with sight loss to be more independent. So, if you'd like a handmade gift that keeps on giving, why not head to our online store? You can find it at www.etsy.com/UK/shop/made by Fab Lab. There's a bit there, isn't there? So I'll do that again. It's www.etsy.com/UK/shop/made-by-fablab. Alternatively, as I say, you can pop into any of our retail stores, and while you're picking yourself a Beacon bargain, get something from our Fab Lab as well. That's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll be back to speak to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that update, Helen. Up now, it's another block of local news. And the first voice you'll hear, it's Christine.
COVID-19 test centres across Dudley Borough have been closed and free lateral flow tests are being phased out. The rapid test centres at Orchard Lane, Flood Street and Studley Gate closed on Thursday and home test kit collection points have now also closed. Karen Wright, Director of Public Health in Dudley, said, "We are grateful to everyone in Dudley who has taken care to follow precautions against COVID-19 during the pandemic. One of our biggest tools in the fight against transmission has been asking people to get tested and to test at home. I would like to thank the many residents who have continued to take this precaution." She added, "As we move to the next stages towards living with COVID-19, the government will supply free lateral flow tests to certain individuals only. Those who remain eligible for free, regular, asymptomatic testing should continue to take up the offer. People who are not eligible and wish to test will be able to purchase LFT kits from high street pharmacies. This is particularly prudent for those who feel they may have developed symptoms of COVID-19 or those planning to meet up with vulnerable people. We would also ask people to continue to practice good hand hygiene, as this will help to protect against COVID and other viral infections. Spring boosters are being offered to over 75s, care home residents and the most vulnerable. Symptomatic rapid testing will remain free for some patients in hospital, people eligible for community COVID-19 treatments and people living or working in high-risk settings. Asymptomatic rapid testing will remain free for staff working in some high-risk settings. Testing will be provided for care home staff and residents during an outbreak and for care home residents upon admission."
Parking issues, roadworks and a lack of footfall are just some of the reasons traders in an area of Wolverhampton believe the high street is suffering. A recent study has said that almost a fifth of high street shops across the West Midlands are sitting vacant, with a decline due to online shopping and the effects of COVID. The area around Salop Street, School Street and Victoria Street in Wolverhampton city centre is one which has seen a decline over the years, with many shops either changing hands or just closing down. It had previously been a vibrant area with shops and restaurants along each street alongside the city centre market, but a number of stores sit vacant at present alongside the roadworks and development work going on in the area. According to Harjeet Gill, who owns a red house on the corner of Salop Street and Victoria Street, the decline in trade for her store and others in the area was down to the works and a few other factors. She said, "It's been very quiet because of the roadworks, as we were just starting to recover after COVID with more people coming in, but then the roadworks started in January and we're losing trade as a result. Another big reason is the lack of free parking, and I think there needs to be free parking or much cheaper parking around here, as people don't want to spend £3.50 to sit in the city all day." Anthony Singer from Heathtown was one of those heading in to do some shopping, and the 58-year-old said COVID had had the biggest impact on the high street and online shopping had made life easier. He said, "I certainly think it's had the biggest impact, as a lot of stores were closed for a long time and have never got enough people coming back to stay open. I don't think the council can do any more though, as they've already invested a lot of money into the city and there is a lot going on."
An academy in the Black Country has leapt two grades in a recent Ofsted inspection. The improvement saw the Link Academy in Netherton, Dudley, move from special measures to good in one go, a result only achieved by 12 other schools in the last 10 years. Inspectors reported that pupils at the school are highly ambitious in all aspects of school life and very proud of their work. Emma Edwards Morgan, principal at the academy, said, "When I joined the academy as principal 3 years ago, I said that it was a fantastic opportunity to change lives among the young people of Netherton and the surrounding area. Now I can say that we are truly giving our learners the education and opportunities that they deserve. This inspection report is a great reward for our staff, learners and parents and carers. I am so proud of them and look forward to more great progress in the future. I am determined that we shall continue to improve, and we have set our sights on achieving outstanding results for the children in our community." The report also praised the quality of the teaching in the school and noted that leaders have established strong routines for behaviour.
A charity black tie ball set to drum up tens of thousands of pounds has been cancelled because the Wolverhampton Hotel, where it was due to be held, is to continue as a courtroom for longer than planned. Sir Lenny Henry's sister, Kay Hinton, and Beverly Knight's mother, Dolores Smith, had planned to host the event with celebrity guests at Park Hall Hotel and Spa next month. But the extravaganza, with tickets costing £60 a head, is among bookings cancelled because the Ministry of Justice has extended its Nightingale Court inside the hotel. The hotel in Park Drive, Goldthorne Park, has apologised after cancelling scores of bookings, including weddings. Kay said that £20,000 already raised from ticket sales and donations for charities Mind, Cruise and Macmillan Cancer Support has had to be refunded. She said, "We would have loved to have hosted our charity ball at the hotel, but it wasn't to be due to the Nightingale Court remaining at the hotel for another year. We did think about looking for a different venue, but in the end we decided not to go ahead. We've refunded the monies that had come in from tickets and donations, and people have the option to donate directly online to those three charities if they wish. Hopefully, in the future, we can have another go."
A black country borough has ranked amongst the worst in the country for having outdated bridges in need of repairs. Wolverhampton has been ranked 10th on the list of councils in Britain with the highest proportion of substandard bridges in a report by the RAC Foundation. According to the research, 10 of Wolverhampton's 58 bridges are substandard, or 17%, meaning they were built to earlier design standards or have deteriorated through age and use. The council said all structures are regularly inspected and that any weight-restricted bridges would soon be inspected with a view to bringing them back to full capacity. Meanwhile, Dudley ranked 46th on the list with 5 substandard bridges out of 84, 6%. And Staffordshire was 54th with 55 substandard bridges out of 1,080, 5%. In Walsall, which ranked 79th on the list, there were 2 substandard bridges out of 79, 3%, and Sandwell, which ranked 83rd, had 3 substandard bridges out of 131, 2%. The analysis was based on data provided by 196 councils in response to Freedom of Information requests and was carried out in partnership with ADEPT, a group representing local authority bosses responsible for transport and other sectors. RAC Foundation Director Steve Gooding said, "Even the failure of the shortest of these structures could mean a 5-foot-long gap in the carriageway, and even on relatively minor roads, that can still be a headache, causing disruption and possibly a long diversion."
Up now, it's time for your weekly mental workout, as we have the quiz questions. Hello, and welcome to this week's soap-themed flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Well, here we go. Question 1. What made soap available only to the rich? Question 2. Where did James Keir open a soap factory locally? Question 3. What was the name of the Lever Brothers' famous soap? Question 4. Who first produced transparent soap? Question 5. How much was the soap industry worth in 2020? And question 6. Why are soap operas so called? I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck. While you give those questions a ponder, we have some more local news. And speaking for us first, it's Angela.
Property owners have given an insight into the plans for Wolverhampton's dilapidated eye infirmary at a public consultation. BZ Property Holdings presented their plans for the crumbling building to councillors and members of the community at the University of Wolverhampton's Brownfield Institute. The firm fought back against claims it had left the site to sit abandoned for 2 years, with bosses saying they are dedicated to its restoration. The property owners plan to regenerate 3 former NHS buildings, which were previously the city's eye infirmary, nurses' home and outpatients and accident and emergency departments. Proposals involve converting the former eye infirmary, which is situated at the confluence of Compton Road and Merridale Road, into 24 apartments, alongside building 51 new apartments. The plans also include an eating disorder clinic in the former nurses' home and a new special educational needs unit adjoining that. Liam Russell, the director of the architecture firm behind the project, Liam Russell's Architects, said, "We look for a project where we can genuinely make an impact and manifest difference in the area. We're here to deliver positive changes. We're here to build a sustainable future. We looked at the dilapidated site and it was a sorry sight to see. We could see massive potential. We're retaining as much of the character of the site as possible. It's not trying to be a statement. We're not trying to dwarf the architecture of the site. I believe this proposal is about delivering positive change in Wolverhampton and the excitement of bringing an old building back to use."
A pharmacy in the Black Country has sent medical supplies to the Ukraine after ordering extra to help those most in need amid Russia's invasion. Bruton's Pharmacy on High Street in Moxley has put together packages full of paracetamol and wound dressings along with much needed toiletries. It comes as peace talks between Moscow and Kyiv look set to resume in the hopes of finding an agreement as the invasion continues 5 weeks on. Onkar Singh, a pharmacist, said, "We just ordered stock from our wholesalers, dressings, paracetamol and anything that can be used by a hospital or pharmacy over there because they're running short. Then we've got toiletries and sanitary pads that may be used by refugees. One of the girls from head office has already come and it's been taken over there. There was various organisations taking van loads, so it was sent with one of those." Mr. Singh added, "We do operate a small food bank from our pharmacy in Moxley, so if there's any refugees that need bits like pasta and bread, if they let us know in advance, we can get something to them each Thursday. People in need have been asked to contact the pharmacy."
Gaming centre Mercur Slots has opened a £200,000 entertainment centre in Dudley Town Centre. The new High Street Gaming Machine Centre has created 10 new jobs. It is part of a nationwide growth programme that will see Mercur Slots invest more than £10 million on UK High Street in 2022. Mark Shirtle, Chief Operating Officer of parent company Mercur Casino UK, said, "We pride ourselves on our continued investment in UK High Streets, and so it means a lot to be able to support the local community and economy in Dudley through the creation of these new jobs. Every new venue we open creates an average of 10 new local jobs, and having created 400 in 2021, we are aiming to create a further 600 in 2022. The new Dudley venue features the latest bingo and digital slot machines, with the emphasis firmly on low-stakes gaming, with payouts ranging from £5 to £500, and an extensive library of new and classic games. Customers also receive unlimited free refreshments." Mr. Shirtle added, "Our aim with this new state-of-the-art entertainment centre is to give both new and existing customers a unique gaming experience in an environment that reflects the scale of the investment. I'm sure those visiting over the next few days and weeks will be as excited about this new Mercus Slots as I am.
Plans to create a modern health and wellbeing facility alongside new homes on the site of a former training centre in Wolverhampton are set to be approved by City Council bosses. The council-owned site of the old Oxley Day Training Centre, currently a vacant asset, is subject to ongoing antisocial behaviour and holding costs and has been earmarked as ideal for development. A feasibility study for the Probit Road scheme has already been undertaken, with a view to an outline planning application being submitted later this year, following further talks with stakeholders and public consultation with the local community. Cabinet members have already given recommendations for the proposal, which will go before a meeting of full council on Wednesday. Around 12,600 people live in the Oxley ward, and the city's health and social care economy faces significant challenges to service a population of 280,000 with relatively high levels of deprivation and long-term health conditions. The residential accommodation proposal will include an opportunity for key worker housing and affordable living. The proposal allows for a mix of 34 housing units across the site, including apartments and townhouses. Mark Taylor, the council's deputy chief executive, said this is an ambitious proposal that makes use of a brownfield site that is no longer in use. It will provide invaluable health and wellbeing services for the local community and will also help deliver more and better homes in Oxley.
Up next, we hear from Tim, who asked for us an article all about the 40th anniversary of the Falklands War conflict.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Tim with an article about this year's 40th anniversary of the conflict in the Falkland Islands. There'll be a number of events in both the UK and the Falkland Islands during the year to commemorate the sacrifices made in 1982 and to celebrate the progress made in the islands over the past 40 years. In the UK, one of the key events will be organised by the Royal British Legion at the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. It's to be held on Tuesday the 14th of June, and it will mark exactly 40 years since the end of the conflict. The Falklands government is calling this commemorative year Looking Forward at 40, making it a time to reflect on the island's hard-won freedom following the Argentinian invasion in 1982. There will also be a focus on looking forward to the next 40 years of life in the Falkland Islands. Back in 1982, it was on the 2nd of April that Argentine forces invaded and occupied the islands on the instructions of Argentina's then president, General Galtieri. 3 days later, on the 5th of April, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher sent a UK task force to recapture the islands and restore freedom for the islanders. In all, 25,948 UK Armed Forces personnel, alongside around 3,000 civilian crew from the Merchant Navy, Royal Fleet Auxiliary and Chinese civilian crew, formed the task force involved in the liberation of the islands. During the 74 days of the Falklands conflict, 255 members of the task force died, and three civilian Falkland Islanders lost their lives. Seven British ships were lost, and nine aircraft shot down. Following several weeks of intense fighting, Argentine forces surrendered on the 14th of June, and ever since, the 14th of June has been known in the Falkland Islands as Liberation Day, and it's a national holiday. Regular news reports during the conflict made many of us familiar with place names in the Falklands, such as the capital, Port Stanley, and Goose Green, a small settlement that was the site of one of the major battles in the conflict. The Falklands also brought the word yomping into civilian language. Yomping, originally military slang for walking large distances with full kit, was picked up by the media, and it's still part of our everyday language now as a term for covering long distances on foot. In this 40th anniversary year, the Falkland Islands government has reiterated the island's gratitude for the strong support that the UK government continues to provide in acknowledging the islanders' right to self-determination and their choice to remain a UK overseas territory.
Coming up next is our final block of local news. And starting this one, we first hear from Ian.
Stories from the region's brick-making industry will be saved from being lost forever thanks to a new Black Country Living Museum project. More than 200 brick-making sites exported bricks all over the world in the 20th century, and the museum is looking for retired men and women to record their experiences. The museum's Forging Ahead development, which is the biggest improvement to the attraction since 1978, will include a replica brickworks of the cricket field colliery Brockmore. Forging Ahead doctoral researcher Elizabeth Thompson said, "Due to easy access to clay, coal and raw materials, the Black Country became the perfect destination for England's brickmaking capital, with the transportation of bricks being made possible via canals and railways. Brickmakers revolutionised the industry by employing women who were hired to carry clay and mould it into bricks, some of which are still standing today. The legacy of 20th century brickmakers can still be seen throughout buildings and structures all over the country, as well as within local street names such as Brickkiln, Brickfields and Brickyard." Senior PhD lecturer at the University of Wolverhampton, Mr. Malcolm Dick, who specialises in West Midlands history, said, "Bricks were made to satisfy every need and enabled building construction, decorative facades and street paving to expand and became a historic component in Black Country history. As a result, Black Country bricks were sold throughout the UK and were widely exported to all continents, establishing Black Country brickmaking as not only a vital cog in the community, but also the world."
Digbeth Dining Club is coming to Wolverhampton, Stafford, Dudley, Briley Hill and Lichfield to celebrate its 10th birthday. Food fans snapped up more than 500 tickets in 2 hours for the Himley Hall event in May as they went on sale for 35 dates across 15 Midlands venues. The club's concept of inviting multiple street food vendors to music venues proved massively popular in Digbeth, and now the company has 2 permanent spots in Hockley and Longbridge. Jack Brabant, who co-founded Digbeth Dining Club with business partner James Swinburne, said, "Himley Hall has probably been the one event that we've been most looking forward to finally getting launched this year. It's a beautiful site and the team there have been amazing to work with, so to see it get the reaction it has after just a couple of hours has just made our day, really." On Friday, April the 29th, the Waterfront Dining Club is at Merry Hill Waterfront and is free entrance. Lichfield DC will be at Beacon Park on Saturday, May the 7th. Stafford DC is at Victoria Park on Sunday, May the 15th. Waterfront DC is at Merry Hill on Friday, May the 27th. And Wolverhampton DC is at Bantock Park on July the 23rd. Mr. Brabant said, "We never thought 10 years ago that the DDC brand would become so well known and synonymous with great food events. It was a bit of fun for us bringing the concept up from London, and it's just grown and grown. The events we have planned for this year is down to the hard work of our ever-growing team, sourcing the best venues and traders and making sure that the brand remains fresh and meets the desires of our customers."
He is set to celebrate his 75th birthday next year, but the nation's favourite puppet, Sooty, is still going strong and ready to return to the stage in the region. Richard Caddell and Sooty will be visiting Stourbridge Town Hall on Thursday, 14th of April, as part of Sooty's Magic Show National Tour. The tour, which was delayed by 2 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic, is set to feature a show with a lot of jokes, audience participation, magic tricks and the best of Sooty, Sweep and Sue. Sooty will be ably assisted by his faithful right-hand man, Richard Caddell, who has been at Sooty's side since taking over from Matthew Corbett in 1998. The 53-year-old said he was excited to be able to get the tour up and running again and bring back a family show for the children of all ages. He said, "I always put on the posters, the big family laughter show, and the crazy thing about Sooty is that he'll be celebrating his 75th birthday next year, making him the longest-running children's television show in the world. It means that most parents who bring their kids and grandparents have watched it at some point in their lives and are always geared towards everybody because they've all seen it, and we play very much to the adults as well as the children." Richard admitted he was still as much of a fan now as he was when taking over from Matthew Corbett more than 20 years later.
Residents at a Tettenhall care home have been revisiting their favourite hobbies and sharing their skills with younger generations. Residents at Care UK's Foxland Grange, Wergs Road, have been stepping back in time to enjoy gardening, baking and learning how to play the piano as part of long-lost hobbies. Residents share their favourite hobbies and try new pastimes with younger generations after a national survey found 77% of adults feel technology is causing skills to be lost, including flower arranging, knitting and woodworking. To ensure the hobbies of older generations are not forgotten, residents at Foxland Grange have been sharing memories of their past hobbies and teaching younger team members at Foxland Grange some of their skills. In the garden, resident Kath taught activities coordinator Amber how to ensure plants thrive when being repotted, while in the kitchen, residents enjoyed sharing their best baking skills with the catering team. Residents and team members also enjoyed piano lessons by two residents, Alan and Heather, who regularly play for the residents. Sue Edmonds, Foxland Grange General Manager, said, "We had a fantastic time taking part in long-lost hobbies here at Foxland Grange. For those living with dementia, revisiting a past hobby, such as gardening or baking, can help bring back memories, as well as providing an enjoyable way to connect with others through a familiar activity that once brought joy. These positive feelings gained from revisiting fond memories can help decrease stress, reduce agitation, and provide a feeling of success and confidence."
Dudley Zoo has welcomed its latest arrival, and it is a first in its 85-year history. Helga, a 3-year-old wolverine, arrived from Whipsnade Zoo on March 31st. Not to be confused with the Marvel character of the same name, wolverines have a resemblance to bears, but are actually related to badgers, weasels and otters. Helga has moved into the Castle Hill site's former howler monkey enclosure, which has been completely redeveloped by staff over the last few weeks. Her crate was lowered into the 1930s Tecton on ropes, and she spent her first day in the Midlands snuggled in her den. Richard Brown, Dudley Zoo curator, said, "We are very excited to be joining this European Endangered Species Programme for the wolverine. Personally, I've wanted to bring this particular species into the collection for a long time, and it's great we can do it for the first time in our anniversary year. And as wolverines are only held currently in 5 other collections in the UK, we feel very privileged to be housing them here at Dudley Zoo."
Now it's time to hear from our ever knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. I hope that you weren't caught out by any April Fool's pranks last week. I actually managed to avoid any trickery, but did manage to fool myself by forgetting to change my clocks. This week, however, I require you to wash behind your ears and pay attention when I say, "Now then, did you know that?" A soap tax was introduced in England in the 18th century, which meant that until the mid-1800s, soap was a luxury used regularly only by the well-to-do and priced out of the reach of the poorer people. Or to coin a phrase, the great unwashed. And here's when a local man named James Kerr came into the picture, when he invented a process in his factory in Tipton, yes, our Tipton, which enabled soap to be made industrially, and when the soap tax was abolished in 1853, it became much more affordable. And one of the best known names in soap is Sunlight Soap, produced by the Lever brothers, who founded their factory in Warrington in 1886. As great benefactors of the age, they built the model village of Port Sunlight in 1888 to provide modern homes for their employees. It stands still today and is still a conservation area with 900 Grade 2 listed properties. Andrew Pear, found the secret of making transparent soap in 1802. And his son-in-law, Thomas Barrett, founded a factory in Isleworth in 1862 to produce Pears soap, that's still produced today. In the same decade, but in Milwaukee in the USA, B.J. Johnson created a soap using a blend of palm oil and olive oil, and there are no prizes for guessing what its name is. The soap industry in the UK alone, in 2019, was worth £182 million. And then came along the coronavirus pandemic, which saw sales of liquid soap in 2020 soar to a whacking £432 million, would you believe? And while we were talking about soaps this week, how can I leave out the country's favourite, like Coronation Street, The Top Watch since 1960, or EastEnders, Emmerdale, Brookside, Holby City, Neighbours, and of course, The Archers on the Radio? Incidentally, these programmes and their like are called soap operas because they were originally sponsored by soap manufacturers to promote their brands. Well, that's it for this episode, folks, and I hope that this brief dip into the story behind such an everyday item has been interesting for you. If not, then I apologise and I promise that I'll try harder for next week. In your hold up, I'm off to see what I can find for us for next week. So bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Wolves secured local bragging rights and a league double over Villa as they survived a late scare to return to winning ways. Villa's first half game plan was working in many ways as they pressed Wolves high and forced them into mistakes as they looked to play out from the back. However, defensive errors from the visitors were their own undoing as Wolves took advantage. Johnny Castro Otto gave them the lead with his second goal in as many games after an impressive finish into the top corner. Villa were all at sea in defence and an own goal from substitute Ashley Young put them 2-0 down as Wolves created several good chances that they should have taken. The second half was fairly straightforward and Wolves controlled the game until the 86th minute when goalkeeper Jose Sarr clattered into Ollie Watkins to give Villa a penalty. The striker got up off the turf and scored the spot kick to give his side hope. In a nervy end to the game, Wolves hung on for victory, securing a league double over Villa in the West Midlands derby. Speaking after the match, the Wolves boss Large said, "We created a lot of chances and should score more goals. That's why 2-0 is so dangerous, especially in this competition, because if you give a chance to the opponent, they have the ability to turn it round, score goals and win the game. I'm happy because we won, we played the way we wanted to play, and the game plan and strategy was perfect for this game." Wolves next have a trip to the North East as they take on Newcastle on Friday. The Baggies are 8 points outside the playoffs with 7 games still to play. But any talk of Albion gate-crashing the top six can now stop following this dreadful performance at St Andrews. For the first time in 15 years, Blues battled their way to victory in the derby, with the second half Lyle Taylor penalty winning it for Lee Bowyer's side. But it's the manner of the defeat that will really rankle with Steve Bruce and the Albion fans who made the short trip to the second city. Bereft of any imagination, creativity or quality in the final third, Albion created nothing from open play over the course of the 90 minutes, with the team not managing a single shot on target. They had one or two half chances from set plays, with Darnell Furlong's long throws their best route to goal. They also should have had a penalty in the opening few minutes when Mark Roberts handled a Furlong throw, which referee Dean Whitestone inexplicably missed. But those moments aside, this was a woeful performance against a Blues side destined to finish in the bottom half this season. West Brom next take on Bournemouth at the Hawthorns this Wednesday, and then welcome Stoke on Saturday.
Now we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Terry, and here he is.
Hello, everyone. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either stood up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you all to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. Please remember you agree to take part at your own risk. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, you should have your feet flat on the floor. It would be ideal if you can use a hard chair that you can sit upright in, which could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. Okay, if you are stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders, and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor, keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out, in and out. So, the first exercise is called Reach for the Stars. So raise both your arms up to the sky, or stars. When at the top, raise up onto your toes. You can raise up onto your toes if you are sitting or standing, and then lower down both your feet and your arms, pushing down with your palms down. So keep going, raising your hands up, then up on your toes, then lower down your hands and feet. And keep going, feeling that nice stretch through the upper body and shoulders. So just a couple more now. That's great. Well done. Next up, Strike of the Cobra, a wee bit of martial arts. So with a strong stance, standing up tall, with your fists clenched in front of your chest, like you are a boxer, punch your right hand straight out in front of you and return. Then with the same hand, punch it to the left side so your arm crosses your body and reaches towards the ceiling. So you're punching up and across. And return. Now with your left hand, punch straight out and return. Then punch to the right side so your arm crosses your body, reaching for that ceiling again. Try not to worry with the logistics on this one. Just energetic punching is good. Keep going now with alternate hands at your own pace. So punching straight out in front of you and then to the side, pointing your fist up to the ceiling. This is great for strengthening those arms. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. Now we have the side stretch, standing or sitting up straight. Raise your right arm high, straight up to the ceiling with your palm facing up. Place your left hand on your hip and then gently lean over to your left side, feeling that stretch all along your right side and return back to the center. Now, lower your right arm and place your right hand on your hip and raise your left hand straight up to the ceiling and lean over to the right and feel that stretch all the way down your left side. Now keep alternating, feeling that nice stretch down your side. So arm up, lean over, and repeat. Great work. Well done. Next up is Swing Back. If you're standing, keep your legs straight and your feet facing forward. If you're sitting, keep your feet flat on the floor. So lift your elbows out to the side, raising your hands chest height, and then straighten out your right arm, keeping your left arm bent, and gently swing your right arm back behind you, looking over your shoulder. Then gently swing your right arm back to the center and straighten out your left arm, keeping that right arm bent, and gently swing your left arm back, looking over your shoulder, then swing back to center. Try for a smooth swinging action from side to side. So once again, swing your right arm gently back with your left arm bent, looking at your right arm as you swing back, then swing back to the center and bend your right arm and gently swing your left arm back and then return. And repeat. So you're just moving side to side with a nice, smooth, fluid movement. Swinging alternate arms back, nice and gently, feeling your back rotate as you move side to side. Just a couple more now. This is a great one for trunk rotation. Next, if you're standing, you might want to be near something you can hold on to help with balance. This one is a leg raise. If you're standing, lift one leg with your bent knee up to hip height and return your foot to the floor. And if you're sitting with a bent knee, lift your leg slightly higher than hip height and return your foot to the floor. Now do the same with the other leg, bend the knee, lift up to hip height and return. Now keep going on alternate legs, so really just lifting those legs up. Next is Slowly Does It. These exercises are slightly different if you are sitting or standing. If you're standing, remember to keep your back straight and keep your feet facing forward, and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So if you're standing, bend at your knees slightly and hold, and then bend your knees all the way down to your lowest point and hold, and then straighten up your legs again. So you're just moving halfway, holding, moving down to your lowest point, holding, and then coming back up. Keep going. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you and hold briefly, feeling that nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees halfway, hold and then all the way down and then up. And sitting, raising alternate legs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding. And just a few more. Well done. Now, it's push up to the moon. So we want a nice soft bend in your knees and a strong stance for this one. Then bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then push both your hands up to the ceiling on your right, like you are pushing up to the moon. Then sweep your hands back down and to the left, pushing both your hands up to the ceiling, again on your left. And now keep going. So you're just making a nice big U-shape with your hands, pushing up to the moon on either side. When you sweep your hands at the bottom of the U, you can bend over slightly to make that sweeping movement bigger. Keep going with that nice dynamic shape, pushing up to the moon on each side. So again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something to help with balance. This exercise is called Kick Across, and you're just standing on one leg and kicking the other leg straight across to the opposite side. So kick your right leg to the left side, keeping it straight, and return and do the same on the other side. So now keep going, kicking that leg across from side to side. You should feel that work in your legs. And again, slow and controlled is more challenging here. Keep going for a couple more. Good work, well done. Next up is full circle. Raise both arms straight up above your head and then sweep them round together to the right, down to the bottom, and back up to the top, making one big circle all the way back up to the top, and keep going, swinging one big circle to the right. Just a couple more in this direction. Good work. Now we're going to do exactly the same, but in the opposite direction. So keep making those nice big circles. It's a great workout for your shoulders, this one. Just a few more now. One more. Great job. Now, we really all should be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. If you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Well done. We're nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So, we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So, feet facing forward. Step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep the right leg straight. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean your chest forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of the right leg. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Then return to an upright position and swap your legs over. So keeping your feet facing forward, this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep this leg straight, then bend your right leg and just lean the chest forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch at the back of the left leg. And hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree, directly in front of you. Your arms form a nice circle in front of you, and then cup your hands together, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. And now hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, and finish. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice, relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant! So that was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. Just shake those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thank you for listening.
What does the weather have in store for us? Well, now's the time to find out. The weather for the week ahead starts off wet, but we'll have a sunny weekend. However, this then becomes more cloudy as the week progresses. Temperatures for the week will be hovering around 13 degrees. UV levels are expected to be moderate throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:20 a.m. for the sunrise and 8 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 8th of April, we have light rain showers and a gentle breeze, with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. On Saturday 9th of April through to Monday 11th of April, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze, with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. And for Tuesday 12th of April through to Thursday 14th of April, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze, with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. So, that's your forecast for the week. And as always, try and enjoy the weather if you can. Now we have a message from the University of Wolverhampton and the City of Wolverhampton Council, who are working together to undertake a survey regarding well-being and mental health.
Our city's motto, "Out of darkness cometh light." It may mean different things to so many of us, but at its core, we might agree that it has connotations of hope and renewal.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, it is hope that many of us have drawn on. And there isn't a better sentiment to sum up some of the community resilience, connection, and buoyancy that we have seen. where we got our heads together and agreed to look out for each other.
We also know that the pandemic and the associated measures adopted to keep us safe and well may have had an impact on our mental health and well-being. We need to understand that impact and to reflect for a while what well-being means to us in our city's context.
The University of Wolverhampton are working in collaboration with Wolverhampton City Council's public health team, and we're launching our hashtag Wolves Wellbeing and Me Empowering Communities project.
One crucial thread of this project is a citywide survey of mental health and wellbeing. We want as many people who are living, studying and working in Wolverhampton to engage with this survey, which will be used as a means of telling us what you have been experiencing and how you have been feeling, what people have found challenging, what has helped people stay well.
The findings. Well, they were feeding to wider work as a system to support local people to have the best mental health and wellbeing they can at every stage of their lives. And quite simply, to plan for our community members' needs, we need to understand them.
So, it is crucial that the diversity of our community is reflected in the results and as many of us engage in the survey as possible for the insight to be inclusive so that we then view well-being inclusively and to ensure we leave no one behind.
So this is a call to action and a plea. Please consider getting involved and responding to the survey.
To take part in the survey, simply visit tiny.cc/wolveswellbeing. Have you done any good at the quiz this week? Well, now's the time to find out, as we have the quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Well, let's crack on with it. Question 1. What made soap available only to the rich? And the answer? The soap tax. Question 2. Where did James Keir open a soap factory locally? And the answer? Well, it's Tipton. Question 3. What was the name of the Lever Brothers' famous soap? And the answer for this one, it's Sunlight Soap. Question 4. Who first produced transparent soap? And the answer, Andrew Pear. Question 5. How much was the soap industry worth in 2020? And for this one, the answer is £432 million. And question 6, why are soap operas so called? And of course, it's because they were sponsored by soap companies. How did you do? Great, I hope, but if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a foghorn. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have Colin regaling a tale about a World Cup qualifying match played under unusual circumstances.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
In this country, we're used to sporting events being played in all sorts of weather. We've all watched as players carry on regardless when the heavens open, apart from cricket, of course, when the slightest sign of a raindrop results in a stampede in the general direction of the pavilion. Football, however, is a different story. Players regularly get soaked through and skid all over the pitch, and even when the temperature drops, they put on a brave face and a few more layers of some techno-type material and continue to battle the elements. The effect on the player's health is rarely detrimental. Well, that's what we've all been used to, at least. But it's not always the case. As happened earlier this year during a World Cup qualifying match between the United States and Honduras. The return match between these two teams was hosted by the USA at Alliance Field in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the temperature was literally at freezing point. More than a tad chilly, I'm sure you'll agree. Players from both teams as well as the match officials, were allowed to wear warm weather gear, which included snoods and face coverings. There were heated benches for the fans and 20,000 free hand warmers, with additional food and drink, as well as the approval of battery-operated warming devices. As the hosts, the USA had chosen the stadium, a new venue built less than 3 years ago, not only to limit their team's travel time, having previously played matches in Columbus, Ohio, and Ontario in Canada, but to secure an advantage over its South American opponents. Canada had used the same tactic to beat Mexico, and the US famously did the same in the March 2013 Snow Classico, where the US beat Mexico 1-0 in Denver, Colorado, where the players celebrated in the snow. The Honduras manager was not happy with the decision to play the game in sub-zero conditions, and made it clear that he thought that a game of football was just not possible. The American team manager took the view that they'd done all they could to provide thermal gear, and was quick to point out that when his team visited Honduras, where the temperature was around 90 degrees, it was unbearably humid, causing his players to dehydrate, cramp up, and experience heat exhaustion. Despite the fact the Midwest of America was undergoing a winter that had already cancelled 3,600 flights and shut down schools, he went on to say that no one could have anticipated the cold spell. On the eve of the game, where temperatures were at 3 degrees Fahrenheit, the Honduras team went out to practice, without any hats or heavy coats on, and they appeared just as ill-equipped hours before the game. It's not known why the team didn't appear prepared for the cold. So, how did the game go? Two of the Honduras players, one of whom was the goalkeeper, had to leave the pitch suffering from hypothermia, and other players needed IV drips after the match due to the -8 wind chill factor. TV pundits demonstrated during the game the effect of wet team shirts. They froze immediately. However, not everyone felt the cold. One brave Honduras fan pulled off his shirt to cheer on his team, even while everyone around him wore multiple layers, hats, gloves, masks, and winter coats. We're often reminded that football is normally a game of two halves and two teams. But on this occasion, there was a third contestant. The icy weather conditions. And the result? A convincing win by the Americans, who beat Honduras 3-0.
TNS Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!